There's one rule!
Welcome back to the No Mulligans podcast. We're in the studio here at Franklin Bridge. As always, thank you guys for listening, watching, viewing, subscribing, giving us a thumbs up, five stars, wherever you guys are at. Thanks so much. We really appreciate it. And sharing it with your friends, too, if they can benefit from any of the little nuggets that we drop in there, here and there at the podcast. So we're also probably going to be scheduling a fall podcast on the back patio as well. We try and do a few of those a year for you guys to come out and watch the podcast live, so and put on a big production, have some food, drink specials, and all that. So we'll definitely be doing one of those before we end the year. So stay tuned for that. But we're gonna jump right into this one just because I love geeking out over these, and I know that you that I love watching you do these kind of lessons.
I really wish you were here for this one, because, and this one would be one where I'd be like, you just need to sit quiet at the back and just watch. Don't ask any questions.
Oh, no, yeah, for sure.
This would be way different.
Definitely. But what we're talking about here is giving high-level player lessons. These are people who have either been playing golf at a really high level for a very long time, or perhaps you do some of these lessons maybe with a super high-performance athlete in a different sport, depending on what sport it is. But we're going to be kind of talking about some specifics and also some generalities if you have somebody at varying levels of athleticism.
Right.
So
right.
I'm really pumped about this. We've gotten to dive into a little bit of this kind of conversation with me when it comes to just like feels where some things need to be.
Right.
But I know that some of you guys who are listening are either, you know, pretty high level players or maybe are just starting. So this is going to be an awesome podcast.
Yeah, and you're just starting, and it's like there are lessons you can learn from high level players that aren't like specific technique oriented, which we're going to avoid altogether. And you'll understand why. And I'll tie it to a guy that's a 14 handicap that I gave a lesson to today. So
there you go.
Kind of bringing all my lessons in today to these two podcasts. So that's kind of fun.
Just to start out, I love one of my favorite things to watch if they ever hit the internet is, I came from a baseball background, is watching professional hitters give each other advice on just like how they do things, how
And you're talking baseball.
Correct. I'm talking baseball. Yeah. So like,
is why you like all the TaylorMade videos so much.
Exactly. Yeah.
There
you go.
That makes sense. Okay.
But, and even pitchers too. It's just so cool when two super high level minds meet and they just say, oh, how do you do this? How do you do that? You know, what pressure are you putting on different fingers if you're talking about, you know, pitching?
Yeah.
A super recent, explanation of this. I'll be quick because I know you're going to be talking most of this podcast.
No, this is great, man. I think this is like people need to hear this.
Would be, I mean, it's really fun. But the Boston Red Sox, they had a legendary pitcher by the name of Pedro Martinez, and known to be one of the best pitchers that's ever pitched in Major League Baseball. And he had a very long career with the Boston Red Sox, and the Red Sox now have this prospect. He's in his first full MLB season. His name's Brian Bello. He's a Hispanic guy, and he went and hung out with Pedro for a few weeks in the off season down in the DR, I believe. And they just spent all that time just talking about specifics, talking about, you know, what you do, you know, what he does, all that kind of stuff. And he came back and he's having a rock star season this year for the Red Sox.
I love that they're not afraid to try things.
100%. Yeah. And I think that's And so, yeah, I just think that that's a really cool example, kind of what we're talking about. It's just weird when you hear, you know, Scott Hasse talk about 101 things to you maybe in your lesson, and now you get to hear Scott kind of talk about what he talks about with some of these super high level players and kind of where two great minds meet, per se.
Yeah, so I think everybody should take lessons. I think I may leave the person anonymous now that I think about it.
That's fine. I think so.
I think so. Let's just say, like, this person's in the business, like, they're in the golf business. Like, I've given multiple lessons to other PGA golf professionals, gave two last year. And most of these guys, like, the cool part is the two I'm referencing, one last year and one of them this, like, that I just had recently, is they're both local pros, and they do things very differently from each other. and they grew up with a different style of swinging the club than anybody is seeing or hearing on YouTube, on TV, on like, yeah, both of them came from a, like the way they release the golf club, you almost don't see anymore. It's certainly not taught much anymore. And it's just interesting because if you don't have the context for what they grew up under and the habits that they developed that are deep in that nervous system, then you can't teach them effectively. And so this guy a couple of years ago had gone to like the big lagging, you know, the club head and holding it hard and all of that. But he grew up with a different release pattern than that. 70s, 80s, 90s, like that whole era was so different. And so he's been struggling with the driver, and that's been kind of the nemesis for a long time. And, you know, us PGA golf professionals, we don't practice a whole lot by and large, unless you're a young single guy who's got, you know, working only 40 hours a week, 50 hours a week. He's got all the afternoon time he wants to practice. So don't have time to practice. So that's part of the context, right? Like, I'm going to practice a little bit here and there. To what degree can I actually practice? So I know that's already a variable. You also have the, like, I don't have enough background. Like, I don't know this player well enough to know, like, what, like, how did your driving become bad? Is there a moment in history? Like, you have, some people have really bad moments at the end of a tournament or something that they remember, and, like, that was the thing that triggered all of the downfall. So we're going through this, and if you had sat in on this lesson, now you would know, Jack, because you kind of know me really well, but you'd be like, he's not teaching him anything. We spent 40, 45 minutes I just asked question after question after question. He asked questions back. I asked him questions. You're going, it's way different than the Scott Spector lesson, which is like, hey, I just need you to tick this piece, tick that piece. We're good. So it's like, wait a second. Like, heavy opinion, just like Scott Spector, on what he needs to do, and high intellect.
Well, so, it's the same as a business consultant coming in too, right? Like, you got to know all the information before you know what you're working with,
right?
There's no way to do that by at least A, asking questions like you're talking about, or B, watching them swing for a million times, right?
Right. And so you got to figure out, like, how do I get them to where they want to get to? Sometimes they have the answer. Now, as we kept going and as we kept dialoguing, I realized the words finally came out. Like, you could see him try to describe what he's like, I don't have swing thoughts. I was like, that's the first time I'd heard him say that. I was like, whoa, okay. Now what are we dealing with? We are dealing with a high feeler. He's like, it's complex. I'm like, this is the first time I've had somebody actually talk about it. Erica was in here watching too, but was like, when we talk about, I don't like things like cover the ball, keep your, you know, get your right elbow, get your arms in, you know, I give cues like that, but by and large, I try to put them there, but you can't take a player like that and put him there. It doesn't work. Like, you can't put your hands on a player of that level, because you'll ruin their feels.
Yeah, it's,
which is really tricky. Now the guy I did last year, I could, because it was a quick, hey, I'm getting ready to go to Pinehurst. Like, can you give me a quick lesson? I'm like, yeah, man. Like, sure. Like, all right, can I give him something that's just gonna work? And he had a really funky looking motion, and played great at Pinehurst. Freaking loved it. But like, what you're dealing with is all feels.
Yeah,
you have to wait till the answer either comes to you or it comes to them. And so we were dialoguing about, like, how do we get there, and struggles with the driver and the fears of the driver.
Is this something that you're upfront with him before the lesson even starts? Are you saying this to him, or like, or are you just kind of doing your thing?
No, I think you just have to let the dialogue happen naturally.
Yeah.
I think sometimes too, it depends on the level of knowledge you have about the player.
Yeah.
If you've played with them, like I even at one moment, and probably about 20 to 30 minutes in, I was like, I'm sorry, I don't have an answer for you right now. All I have is questions. Like, I know we may end this thing with nothing left, and like, I hate you spending your money to do that. Like, let's just keep going. I was like, I feel like I need to come watch you play, honestly. Like, given that, And then the dialogue kept going. And, you know, he said something. He said, I set up like this and just feel like a hook. Like, if I have to hit something on, like, a hole, I just have to save it, and, like, I'm petrified of it moving either direction. I just go to the shot and just hit it as hard as I can. It was basically the words. It wasn't even those words. It was like, I just do this, and he showed me, right? Set up like this and feel this. Like, it's more complex than that, but, like, that's the idea. I was like, okay, cool. I don't even think he said I feel this. I try to hit this shot. There's a certain shot he tried to hit. So it's a, it's not even like, didn't even give me the feel. It just said, I set up like this and try to hit this shot. A, he didn't actually set up the way he thought he did. Now he set up less in the opposite direction.
But now you know something about him.
Right. Now, okay, now we have some context here.
Mm-hmm.
And then I watched him try to hit that shot. And the biggest thing that he did is he swung harder. Now, we had been dialoguing some prior to that as he was getting ready to come for the lesson. And, you know, he wanted to hit it farther, that kind of thing. I was like, we can train that. Like, that's not a problem. I kind of like, if you have a past history of, like, not hitting the driver well, I kind of like you swinging free and trying to hit it farther. Like, I don't – just learn how to let go a little bit no matter where it goes. And so he's already a great ball striker. That's the tricky part. Like, if he struggled with his ball striking as a whole, it wouldn't be – it would be a lot easier, but he's not. And so he hits that shot.
That's the kicker. Hold on. For the people listening at home, and I think I can pick this out because I've heard you talk a million times. But we were talking on the last podcast. You said, okay, if you're able to produce force in the same – consistently in the same pattern, you're good. But if you're having a bunch of different strikes, a toe strike, a heel strike, a center strike, a high strike, a low strike – then, okay, now we need to start diving into where you're producing that force, right?
Right.
The kicker with this guy is that he is a good ball striker, and he does it consistently.
And
so
he
you
hits
can't
it solid.
So you can't touch anything about it because you don't really know what you're working with right now.
Right.
But clearly it's working.
But like every little piece that I look at and could potentially think and fix based on all the feedback I've been given, all the swings that I see and the contact that I hear and the ball flight that I see, like, and the irons and the wedges and, like, seeing all those other shots, it's like, I don't know where to go.
And yeah,
part of being doing my job in a lesson is if I don't have the answer, don't give one. I think this is where the medical community actually does a good job of, like, people are like, well, how do you not know? We don't know. We're gathering all the information. Like, maybe you go see another specialist, like, whatever. Like, but all those people still have to get all the information from the other people to save time and context. Like, I don't know. I just don't know.
And so, in a lot of cases, a misdiagnosis could be more problematic.
Right. And I don't want to do that.
Right,
right. So it's just like, I just have to wait. We don't have an answer, But he finally goes to hit this shot, right? And he hits it three times, and he's just, like, amped. I was like, that's interesting. And then he kept talking about, like, yeah, but I only go to this. I said, let me pose a question. I'm not giving you an answer. I'm just asking a question for both of us to consider. I don't know the answer. You don't know the answer. But what
are you up front with him about this? Or are you
just in the moment?
Or in the moment, are you just saying, I got a question for you?
Yeah. Like, you just, again, it's natural dialogue, just like you would have with anybody about anything, right? Like, half of sales is just like, just have an actual conversation with the person. Like, so you just keep going back and forth and say, look, I'm not saying this is what you need to do, but, like, what if that shot that you go to, you just hit it all the time? You hit it harder.
What did he
so
say?
You hit it farther. And he gave me the same look you just gave me, like, huh. Like, you know, where the mouth kind of drops, the eyes kind of go up. It's like a curious, like, huh. And it was quiet for... And this thing I've learned, like, with some students like this, where they're super feelers like that, if I start talking too soon, I'll interrupt the
thought in their head.
The thought or the feel that's going. Yeah. And, like, because they're going to think through situations they've played in. Like, when you're dealing with high-level performers, whether they've played professionally or not, like, when that wheel starts turning, you got to recognize it's turning, and you just got to keep asking questions.
Or stay silent.
Right. Stay silent. Right. So I just stayed there, like, hmm. I don't know how long the silence was, but it felt like it was silent for 5 minutes.
And knowing this person, I can just like imagine it, and I'm like, oh my god,
we're going for 40 minutes.
Yeah.
And like, we haven't done anything but dialogue. We haven't done anything, but in doing nothing, we've done everything.
Right.
And we're just sitting there, and I'm going, he's silent, I'm silent. It was probably only like 30 seconds, but maybe less than that, but felt like forever. I'm just like, okay, what are we going to do? Like, if I just went silent on this podcast for 10 seconds, y'all would be like...
You'd be checking your phone, being like, is this play or pause?
Right. It doesn't have to go very long. Like, oh, did I accidentally pause it? But he then goes, that's interesting. And then he hits a couple more. He's like, God, he's just getting excited. Like, hmm. And then I said this. I said, under pressure, when you feel the adrenaline, like the nerves, pressure, adrenaline can show up just when you're nervous. I said, you need to hit it harder. You need to go with the adrenaline, not against it. Because what's he going to do? If you have a miss with a driver, you're going to typically try to guide it. He's like, he stepped in to hit another one, and then he stepped back. He stepped back, and he went, whoa. I played in a scramble event elsewhere with a Corn Ferry Tour player, and he got beat by the Corn Ferry Tour player in this two-man scramble thing. And this guy made, I don't know, 4 or 5 birdies and got beat by the Corn Ferry player. And he asked him at the end, he said, look, honest feedback from you. Like, did you notice anything different between the holes where I made birdie and the holes where I made double because I threw an errant tee ball? He said, yeah, you swung like 17 miles an hour faster on the holes that you played well. So he was able to put those two pieces together. He actually had the answer.
Well, hold on.
So that shot he went to hit, like, no matter how hard he tried to hit that shot shape, he didn't hit it. Like, the shot shape he was trying to hit, he didn't hit.
Well, this is funny because
he went straight.
I think this is your genius, though. I think this is your genius, though, because when you basically talked us through from the start of this lesson to right when you asked him the question, well, what if you just hit that every time? I think what's genius
That's 40 minutes. Yeah, 45 well, hold on. Minutes. I was like, I'm about to leave this guy here, take his money, and not give him anything.
Hold on. But you asked him that question, and he was able to pull a specific answer that basically confirms your own suspicion about what you thought he needed to do to be more consistent and gain all the goals that he wanted to do. Right. And I think that's wild to me. I don't know, just hearing that. But and I want to hear the rest of this lesson, because the thing that my brain goes to when I'm hearing this whole story is, okay, what if you just hit that every time? Well, you got to be able to hit something else at some point. Or do you?
What if you don't? Like, what if you don't? What if you all you have to do is hit that same shot over and over and over and over and over again? So remember when we had Jamie on here? He said one of the signs of mastery, not just like you're at your house trying something new and you're bored with it, right? But like one of the signs of mastery is boredom.
Yeah.
And so people get in that boredom and they're like, well, I want something new. What if you don't need anything new?
But I'm
what if you just
like,
stay there?
What if you actually do, like in a round, on a hole that does not suit that shape?
Which was the question that I had is like, what if he doesn't? What if all you have to do is hit that shot?
Well, the way that I'm thinking is like, okay, what if his shot, from what you just described, was just a big draw, right?
Yeah.
So what if you have a
it's not a big draw, though. Like, you're talking, keep in mind, you're talking a high-level player. It's okay. Not going to shape a whole lot.
Okay.
Like, it doesn't move much.
Okay. So, I mean,
not talking about a 7 handicap or even a 0 handicap.
That's
We're
fair.
Talking about somebody who's a +4.
Yeah.
That plays maybe once a month, has spurts where they play more. Like, welcome to PGA golf professional life, right? Like, I don't really play, don't play. Then I play. Like, how much. He can't work on anything.
Yeah.
He's
okay.
Not going to. Like, none of us are going to.
So the question that I asked was more from what you're saying. it totally makes sense. Yeah, you probably don't have to. I was thinking more along the lines of like, okay, what if you were coaching Rory here and you had to hit a different shape? Well, then we're dealing with an even higher caliber of person right. as well.
But
so.
Like DJ, like they asked DJ, like, can you hit us a draw? He's like, no, I don't hit draws. All I hit is fades. Like,
you're right.
You don't ever try to hit a draw?
He does
no,
say that.
No, I never, ever, ever hit a draw. And I don't think he's exaggerating. If he's hit a draw, like something terribly has gone wrong and it's such an outlier that, I mean, it's like, since you're in the real estate business, it's like, you know, somebody who's just started selling homes in like south of Spring Hill in a place where like home prices don't exceed whatever, $300,000, $400,000, $500,000. Are like, yeah, I just landed this, like, I just sold this $10 million property down here in Spring Hill. Like, you've only been in real estate for like 3 months. Like, that's how big of an outlier
I
something
see. Yeah,
that
yeah.
is. Like, you're just out of college. You just got your real estate degree. You're not working with a firm and you just happen to land a, like, if you try to run your business model off of that, you're screwed.
Yeah, that makes a lot of
right?
sense.
Like, he's never going to hit a draw. Like, no, that doesn't work. So, like, what if that's all you have to do? Now, a lot of these players, some of them, the super feelers, like this guy, don't like to be put in a box.
Mm-hmm.
They like to be outside. Like, so that's the only part, isn't that was one of the things that we talked about was like, afterward was, well, what if I do, right? What, like, what if I want to make sure it doesn't turn as much left? Like, you know, I've had other people tell me to tee it lower. I was like, I just, the teeing it lower just doesn't feel right to me. I said, I can't tell you why. I just, something about like the really bad miss that you have feels to me like if you were to make that motion, it would be even worse. So teeing it lower is not good, but like there's the height threshold. So we were able to play with tee height. I said, but you get up to certain holes and you're such a hyper feeler that like you'll let the hole make you feel like you have to do something different. Now you're not going to shape it big one way or the other. He's like, well, if I need to fly a little straighter and still do the same motion, he's like, I said, I don't quantify it. Like, don't give it a specific thing. Like, we're talking high feelers. Like, even he's trying to give me, unintentionally, he's trying to take himself into like a concrete way, even though he doesn't want to be concrete. And he asks like, I know, like you, what you would do is like, you'd try to take a player like me that's got, like, likes to change my feels all the time and just kind of ride with my feels for that day and ride with my, like, what the hole does. And, like, you try to box me in, like, do this in this situation, that situation. I said, what if trying to box you in is the wrong thing to do? So I'm back to asking, I'm posing a question. I still don't know the answer to that. Like, that's why what I looked at you was like, what if that's you? All you have to do is that.
That's so interesting too.
Know.
Yeah.
That's like, that feels right, but I can't say that's all you need to do. Notice I didn't say that to him because that's not the right answer.
Well, what you're trying to do is you're trying to raise the contrary point to make him think both sides and then pick a side.
I guess. Like, but I'm also saying like what if we can use that as our starting place and then you can adjust off of that.
Yeah.
And so let the hole dictate like, well, you know, I may feel like I need to tee it a little higher. Well, what's the miss that you would have trying to hit that shot? And he knew immediately. He's like, that's a block to the right. I said, so when would you probably use it? He's like, I'd probably feel that wanting to tee it a little higher on a hole where there's no trouble to the right. I was like, okay, right with that. Like, what if there's trouble on the left? I feel like I want to tee it a little lower. I was like, yes, but don't go much lower. Like, here's the limit to which you can go. But let you kind of dictate that, but hit the same shot. So I'm still giving him the freedom to move as he feels movement. If you lock him in, like, you have to do this, and you, when you feel nervous, you only tee it low, like, then he's stuck again, and he doesn't feel like he has control. We're back to the control thing. There's perceived control and actual control. Like, I still have control, but I don't. I've perceived to have control. I'm just letting him have the answer. But, like, we both sitting there thinking about it. I said, the thing I like about that shot is you try to hit it hard.
Which,
that's the element that is that connected to the other element that then connects to, when I'm not hitting the driver well, like, I feel like I'm trying to guide it. Well, you can only guide it if you're going slow enough to guide it. Like, if you're swinging for the fences, you literally cannot guide it. It's why sometimes home run hitters strike out a whole bunch. because they're not trying to like get on base. I'm guessing. I don't know. I'm speaking out of my mouth a little bit, but like, at least for, I know this for softball.
Principle is right.
I know principle for softball. Like, you generally have your base hitters and your home run hitters, and those home run girls strike out a lot from the knowledge I've been given from other trusted resources.
We could go into a huge conversation on that.
I know. Jack's like, we could go. There's details. You're wrong. That's okay.
No, 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 no. General principle,
the general idea is
correct. Yeah, they look for one thing and one thing only.
And so it's, I think the lesson for that is like, how in tune are you with your own self? And I'm working on my game by myself. Why? I don't have all the answers. Well, so-and-so told me to do this one time. And so like, oh, here's the other thing. I got backstory on this. He had gone to see another teacher a while before, and there's more context to the whole thing, but like completely changed a certain pivot motion. And that led to like downward attack angles with the driver, and things started to fall apart. Right. But he also only took one session, and then like things change in terms of trajectory of career and all that. Like, so he couldn't go back like and continue that learning process. So you can't put the blame on the instructor. It's a high level instructor, in kind of the middle section of the country. Like, he's well known and well respected, but it's like, you can't put the blame on that moment or on the player. But like, that gave some context of like, ah, okay. Like, there may be a moment. So some people don't come to take golf lessons because they've had a bad experience. They don't want it to be on, they don't want to be led astray. It's not going to happen here. Like, if that happens here, it's so rare. Like, it's an outlier. Like, I don't let that happen. I don't let that happen with my other staff that teach. Like, if they get stuck, they come ask me for help. I got it, right? It's when you're teaching players at that level, the top is the most fragile place to be. Like, people think it's so great up there. It's like, no, like, it's harder up there. That's why the dialogue took so long. I didn't do anything for 45 minutes. Except question, 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 dialogue. Oh, what possibility about this? I don't really know about that. What about possibility of that? I don't know about that. Like, you just keep going and keep going and keep going, and you hope you find your way.
Which, kind of going back to the very first part of the podcast when I was talking about Pedro and Brian, it's like when you get two high-level minds together that can speak on the same frequency without touching specifics, it's almost like magic happens, is right. Because you're both on the same frequency, same wavelength, but you're not trying to, you're just saying, well, here's what I do, here's what I think, here's, you know, what if this, what if that? And then you can start to toy with it in your own head. And one thing that I'm thinking about with Pedro and Brian is Pedro's not teaching him how to pitch. He's just saying, man, when I did this and when I did this well, this is what I was feeling. Do you feel something the same way? And they're like,
No, I don't feel like that at all.
It's like, fine. Well, then maybe you can do this to compensate for that. And it's just like, I think that's the difference between super high level teaching and learning, is like trying to put two minds together rather than one mind teach the other mind everything that they know.
When I'm at this point in the pitch count, I really feel like I can't throw this pitch. Like, I just feel totally out of control when I try to throw this pitch in that moment. Like, now you're getting into the mental side of the game. Like, well, maybe there's a way that you're throwing that you can
but
feel
a high-level
different.
Player knows how to talk about that, knows how to teach that in a way that doesn't seem intrusive, but at the same time gives the other person information to what they can feel is malleable.
Right. Or they just dialogue back and forth. Like, you just keep asking questions.
Right.
And, like, we want to give answers so bad. And that's what I do, by and large. And so it's so refreshing for me, because with beginners, so this is the flip side, right? So we use beginners to train the top players. Now this is the top training the bottom. Most of what I do with the bottom players is I just answer questions,
mm-hmm.
because they have so many. But what I've learned to begin to do is like, the junior golfer I had today, like, he's not a beginner, but he's still in the 80s. He hasn't broken 80 yet. Really good, talented player. I was like, well, what's your lowest 18-hole score? 81. He's like, I'm just trying to, like, I've only hitting 2-3 greens around. Like, you should hit way more with your golf swing. I was like, dude, I'm going to be breaking 77 every time I play with your golf swing. Like, all day long. No problem. And your short game's good enough because you got into our pre-elites. Like, that's a hard short game test. Like, why wouldn't you? And then I was like, hit me a high draw. He's like, well, I was like, just hit a high draw. Picture it, hit it. First one was draw, wasn't high. I was like, well, hit it higher. And he said, higher. I was like, okay. And then he hits another one and that was blocked to the right. He's like, Well, I was pushed. I said, did it draw? Yes. Did it go high? Yes. Was that what I asked you to do? Yes. Do we have a specific spot we were aiming? Well, no, you didn't give me that. Okay. So, what's the problem? Like, but that got us to a root of, like, I kept asking him questions, and he got there. So, that's bringing that dialogue I had with my high-level, super high-level players with high intellect and high feels, and bringing that same type of pattern down into a, I'll call it an intermediate player that's inexperienced as because he's a junior golfer and like doesn't have enough like maturity to be able to answer some of the questions.
Well, and what's interesting about that too is the difference that I heard was not necessarily that he had a you know bad technique or bad form, but what you're doing in that situation is you're teaching him how to think.
Right.
There's a huge difference between knowing what to do and actually doing it. Mm-hmm. And so what you're doing there is teaching him how to think. And then when you get to a story like with this guy that we spent the whole podcast talking about, it's two high level minds talking to each other about what could happen. So you're on the same frequency, same wavelength, but with this junior down here, you had to pretty much say like, okay, well here, work with me here. Think with me through this. What is, you know, you're teaching him how to think.
The question then I have to ask, so like things I'm not aware of, right? Back to, I wasn't aware that the way I taught chipping stance was just the way it's always been done and that there was, like, I was missing something. So the question then becomes, like, with all this dialogue and question asking, like, I'm literally asking this question right now. Like, this is just now coming to me. How can I, should I be asking more questions of even to the extreme of somebody who's never played before? For instance, maybe they've played a little bit and they've hit balls on the range two or three times. They're coming for their first lesson. They want to try this golf thing. I could start by, literally this is all new to me. I could start by going, so you never played before. Do you think you should hit the ground or miss the ground? Well, I think I'm supposed to miss the ground. Oh, that just gave me knowledge about what they know. I'm assuming certain things. Now, I can try to assume they know nothing. Then that requires a lot of teaching from me. But what if I start right out of the gate where I put them in the driver's seat really early rather than them always looking to me where they're always just like, I just don't know what to do. Because I keep telling them what to do, but I never give them the tools like I give to my better players how to reason and think through things.
So this is something that...
I don't think it'll work if all I did... I can't do what I did here.
No. But you can't.
Could I bring elements of that
100% you can
down, and then I think about it, I'm like, all I do is tell them what to do. Well, I don't ask them any questions.
With this guy that you were talking about, you have to ask the questions as long as you can until you get to the root of the problem, which is, okay, let's swing a little harder and let's get let's swing a little harder and hit this shape exactly right every single time, right? And so that was like, I think that's the revelation, right? You spent 40 minutes getting to that one centerpiece, right?
Right.
With the real estate, it's asking as many questions as you can until you get as much information and to realize what's important to them.
Yeah.
And then you can go with the action step.
Well, I think it's one of the things like I'm going to start trying to do a little bit more of in, because I have a lot of beginners or new students in the last like 4 to 6 weeks, which has been great. And I set them as 75-minute lessons. So I actually buy myself some more time to ask more questions. And I generally do that anyway, but I'm even thinking with my beginners, like, what do you want? Like, where are you trying to go? Like, hey, I'm just trying to learn the game. Like, how much do you know? I know nothing. Well, what is not, like, nothing for five ladies in here that are just doing this traveler's golf class that I'm doing might be five different levels of nothing. And so I could lose somebody out on that. And so I could ask questions like, I just haven't done this in a long time, and I've seen it done, is like with a beginner group of class, like, where should you brush the ground? Oh, I don't think I'm, wait, you're supposed to brush the ground? So, you know, that kind of thing is like really important when you're dealing with any player, is like, ask questions. Like, people hit golf balls and they're just like, I just don't know. I was like, well, that's unproductive.
Give me something to work with. Yeah.
Right. Like when I'm in high level player questions, there's no questions that are like that. Like, I just don't know. I just don't think I can do this. This just seems impossible. Like none of that's a part of the conversation. Now there are nerves and fears that are a part of the conversation, but there isn't ever a like, no, There's never a, like,
exactly.
No, there's always, everything's open.
Which, hold on, because one thing that you say makes a really good student is just, are they coachable? Are they teachable? Right. And I think a lot of that is also, do they have an open mind to be able to, like you always say, just surrender to the teacher, surrender to you, and just be able to trust the process, trust the theory. And then when that student starts becoming really good and getting to be a super high level caliber player, now they can be like, well, I feel this, I feel that. And now the learning process has really been ingrained in them, and they're able to kind of co-work it with you rather than somebody who's just like, you're right, I just can't do it. Okay, well, what do you feel? You know, now you have to go into depth asking the specific question.
Right. As soon as that wall comes up, I got to tear that wall down.
Exactly, exactly.
Like, now there's a whole process to tearing the wall down and make sure it's all the way down and the rubble's thrown away.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like,
right. Gosh, this is super interesting.
I know. So, like,
we're both getting excited.
This is where, like, I start to think, like, if I started with more questions, do I prevent more walls from going up?
I don't think there's a yes or no answer to that. I think what you are doing, though, is you're breaking down the barrier for their willingness to then ask later questions and future questions. It might not necessarily be the end-all be-all right in that moment, but it could be that you're breaking down the barrier for them to ask more questions later on down the line.
Well, and early on when somebody's first learning, like, all of the knowledge is in the teacher.
Mm-hmm.
And all of the do is in the teacher. You're trying to get that to the student because they can't build confidence until it's them doing it. Now, you might put them there. You might give them a training aid. Like, even if you give them a training aid, it's still the training aid that's doing it. You have to get them off of the aid and have to get them into the motion. Now, some of the best players in the world use a training aid every week, but they know how to quickly get – they do a couple of swings, but then they take it off and they keep going. They don't just hit 500 golf balls with a training aid.
Right.
A lot of them will hit, if you give them an aid, most of them hate aids. You give them an aid, they'll make five swings with it, and then that thing's, like, in the garbage. And, like, if they like the sensation of it, they're like, all right, I hit 10 balls. Like, let me put that on for, like, they don't need it very long.
Right, right, right.
And so, like, what I did with that young man today was, and I told him this, I said, as long as it's mine, he's taken a number of lessons already. I'm like, I'm not giving him anything new. He doesn't need anything new. He has the tools. Like, he knew he was too much under the plane. Like, put it up on the plane. He's like, I just can't. I was like, no, we ain't going there. Sorry, stop. Hard stop. We're not going farther. Like, yeah, you can. I said, well, do the opposite. I don't care if you whiff it. And he tops it. Great. Like, that one, that plane was different by a foot and a half. So you can change anything you want, right? Okay, yes, you can. Great. Awesome. We agreed that you can change.
Which now we're on the path of mastery with being willing to fail.
Right. So now I look at him and go, okay, all right, now that's when we started the process. We'll hit this shot. I said, as long as I have it, you can't build confidence.
Mm-hmm.
You have to have it. You have to own it. And when you're dealing with super high-level players, this is where, like, all these, like, super fancy, super smart teachers give them stuff, and then they leave those teachers 2 years later because they didn't get anywhere because you took away what's theirs. And so one of the things I talked about was surrender. Like, I need you to totally surrender. And, like, we got into semantics with this player. Like, well, I never surrender my game to anybody. I was like, okay, I get that. But surrender to the process of what I have to give you. And then as we were dialoguing, and he was pushing back, and we talked about that surrender thing more, it's like, I'm never going to give somebody, like, even if I go to a counselor or even go to a business coach, like, I'm not going to give them my business. Like, whatever you say is what I'm going to do. I should have enough wisdom to know, is that good to fit in or is that not? But willingness to consider it at the very least. And so I was like, that's interesting. You can't totally surrender, like, truly to the degree of, like, you just tell me, I'll do whatever you tell me to do, because I can't teach you everything.
Again, wow, I'm so glad I said this, but at the beginning of the pod, we were talking about Pedro and Brian. I think what's interesting about that is you're talking about those super high-level coaches that, you know, the players end up leaving later. It's because their ego wants, like, this is the way to do it. My way is the way to do it, and you should do it because it'll make you better. Versus somebody where you talk about a super successful coach like Butch, or, you know, I mean, even just for the sake of everybody who knows you here, you, where I feel like you never really have an ego to be like, this is the way to do it, and you're going to do it my way. It's like, okay, well, try this. Mm-hmm. Oh, that didn't work. That didn't work. Oh, but that did. Oh, we need to build off that. Right. It's the teacher and the coach, and I'll just, for the sake of the pod, call them, like, the guide, right? It's about leading without an ego, and then trying to find the solution based off of what's not working.
And that's really hard to do.
100%. And that's what makes the best the best.
Because you have players that you make really good that do pretty much everything you ask them to do. And then you have players that do nothing that you ask them to do.
Mm-hmm.
And they get really good too, in spite of you.
Mm-hmm.
And so like, it's, you have to be careful how much credit you take as a teacher.
Yeah.
But I appreciate you complimenting me with this situation, because it's, sometimes I forget it. And we talked a couple pods ago about like, most teachers can't run the gamut from uber beginner all the way to the top. And I'm still fairly, I would, for my own self, relative to what I think I should do, I would say I'm still weak on some beginners, but I'm way better than like a whole bunch of other teachers at teaching beginners. I think I equip them more to be able to problem solve, but I think this is the challenge of like becoming a good student is doing some self-discovery. I can't do all of it. I tell students this all the time, like, I can't give you all the answers. I don't have all the answers. That's why I've got two other people on my team. Even they can't give you all the answers.
Which is the other...
can't give you all the answers.
Which another reason, too, why you need a student that's also going to take half ownership of it as well.
Yeah, it needs to be 50... It needs to be 100-100.
Right, right.
Like, it's... I'm taking total ownership, and if you're not... Like, part of my taking ownership is if I see you letting me take 100% ownership, and you're doing just everything I asked you to do, but, like, you're ignoring good advice from, like, if I put you around a player like Austin, and he gives you something that you should consider... and you just ignore it because I didn't say it, Scott Hasse didn't say it, you might be a fool. Like, I can't teach you everything. It's why Elijah's on the golf course. I've not shot as low as Elijah has shot. He relates to people in a different way than I do. Like, am I more qualified to teach than he is? Yeah. Is he qualified to teach? Absolutely. Like, it's, are we going to handle a lot of situations similar? Yeah.
Are you going to handle a lot of situations differently? Yeah.
Yeah, right. Am I going to be right a lot more than he is? Yeah.
Which is also why you have people
who... But
he's
not going to be... He's not giving anybody bad information.
No.
Wrong information, per se.
No, and all these people, too. Like, I think that's another thing that, like... Whereas, I don't think I'll ever go to another person to go swing a golf club, you know, to go teach my golf swing, is just because... Me and you, it's not that you are the best teacher in the world, but it's that me and you understand how to talk to each other and how to feel what each other are feeling.
And we know the full context.
Exactly, full
Think
context
about trying
of
to
everything,
get
right?
Next teacher to 100%. Full context.
No, yeah.
Unless it's, you're just royally tanking and falling apart and your game's gone to trash,
yeah.
You don't switch.
Exactly, like, which is another reason why we were talking about this guy who you're giving the driver mm-hmm. lesson to as well. It's like, it took you 40 minutes to get to... step 1A of the project.
Right.
Right? So it's like...
And even that was just a posed question that I don't know the answer to.
Correct.
And neither does he.
It wasn't even 100% certain at the time.
But it was the right thing at the right moment. And,
but...
And to me, that's what wisdom is.
Yes.
Wisdom is saying or asking the right thing or nothing
mm-hmm.
at the right time in the right moment. And the only way you get wisdom... is through years of experience and being around other people that have that quality.
Correct. And then relate that to the contrary, where if you were going to take me in that same driver lesson, you would have all of the context, right?
Right. Right.
So
right. I've watched you play a lot. I've watched you.
You basically took me from block zero to where I am now.
When you were struggling in the dumps, like out of college, I'm not sure what to do. Like now you got some direction. Like I can see your, like, business goes, so
there's
goes
so much more context.
Right.
Yeah.
Context is everything.
100%.
Like, YouTube can't do that. Even the podcast can't do that.
Right.
We're just trying to give you ways to think, ways to consider, like, and if you're already taking lessons, which a number of people are, I wouldn't say the majority of the podcast is just from here, because I got them listening all over the country, but it's like, if you're taking a lesson, like, are you doing your part?
Yeah.
You have to do some self-discovery. Tell your instructor what you feel. If you don't understand something, tell him you don't understand it.
Yeah. Like, that vulnerability is key too.
Yeah. And like, if you don't trust them enough to do that, either there's something wrong with you or they're not the right fit.
Right.
So, you know, it's just now I'm curious, like, where am I going to go from here? I feel like we need to cut out like part of that middle section of the podcast because it rambled a second. But like, high-level players have something to teach low-level players. But low-level players can also teach high-level players something. If I were to bookend the last, like, four podcasts, it would be just because you're a beginner doesn't mean you don't have answers and don't have questions that are of value. Like, I'm just not sure that I like my body can do that. Like, okay, that's a more productive question of like, I don't know if I can do that. Like, that feels really awkward. Okay, that feels awkward. Can you try it for 10 more swings for me? Yeah. Does it feel less awkward? Actually, it feels more awkward. Okay.
Okay, great. Let's go down the other road.
Well, I got another way to do the same thing. Well, maybe we need to abandon that altogether.
You've always taught me, too. It's just like, all right, let's turn the dial all the way to the left. Let's turn the dial all the way to the right, and then let's find the middle, wherever that is.
Right. So there's a part on both the instructor and on the player to get to where you want to get to. And if you get a chance to spend some time around some high-level players, just listen, just ask questions, and then shut your mouth.
I love that. That's such a good way to end it. Just because I think what you just said right there, that last sentence, that just fully described the entire podcast, what we were trying to talk about and what high-level players and high-level coaches do for each other. So, well, awesome. Hopefully you guys learned a little bit in that podcast. I know it was more of a philosophical podcast and we might have run a little long, but I hope that you guys got at least one nugget to take home tonight just because, man, that was some good stuff that we just talked about. That was some really good stuff.
I just wish you had been there.
Right, I know.
But in some ways, those moments are more fun to talk about.
Yeah.
Because you get to, like, experience it through my eyes, right, through your own.
Yeah, that's a great point, too. Cool. Well, guys, thanks so much for listening, watching, viewing, subscribing, wherever you guys are at. Give us a thumbs up, 5 stars, leave a review. Would really be beneficial for the podcast, and we really hope that you guys have learned a little something today. So thanks so much for listening. From Scott and Jack inside the studio here at Franklin Bridge, we'll see you on the next one. Thanks for listening to No Mulligans Podcast. Peace.
And one roll!